Good morning, and it's such a joy and a pleasure to meet all of you through this Monday Manna. And I praise and thank you, Lord, for having given me this privilege among the saints to share some of the thoughts which the Lord has put in our hearts. So Martin Luther King Jr. said, life's most persistent and urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Basically, we are going to see from this portion, that is the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 10, verses 35 to 45. All of you are familiar with this passage where James and John asked the Lord that they want to sit at the right and the left. So basically, they wanted to have the prominent positions. So John wants of three things in our lives: lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. And if you read Proverbs 3:34, the word of God says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Again, if you see Lucifer, the downfall of Lucifer was due to the pride. So all of us are leaders. We are leaders in our organizations. We are leaders in our ministries. And if we make an analysis of what is happening in our ministries, in our churches, in our organizations, the biggest problem is this. Basically, somehow the evil one tempts that we should have prominence in our positions. So, if you read the Gospel according to Luke, the same incident, actually there, their mother also recommends that they should be given the positions of prominence. Now, what was the problem in their question? Having toiled with him for 3.5 years, and actually James, John, and Peter were in the inner circle. If you see, whenever Jesus wanted to have a special time, whenever he wanted only very few people, he called these three people. You see the Mount of Transfiguration, whenever he went for a healing, and even in the Garden of Gethsemane, he actually gave importance to these three people. So probably it made them think that they are entitled for this position. So what was the problem with their question? They wanted the top post. So since having spent and since they have already been given importance, they wanted the top post. And then they wanted to be the first among equals. So 12, and they wanted to show that 12 that they are much more bigger or important than the others. They wanted to do it by a shortcut. So they are using other methods to get to that post. But if you think deeply, you know, the fundamental reason why this problem occurs, you have to read Matthew 22 verses 37 and 38 again and again and again. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love others as yourself. Basically, the Lord gave us only two commandments. First is, you have to have him as number one priority in our life. Now, when we have him as number one priority, the vertical relationship is right, then the horizontal relationship becomes all right. Now, you don't see anywhere the Lord's talking about taking care of ourselves or our positions. If James and John had focused on others, like how the Lord expected them to be, they would not have tried or aspired for these top posts. So this is the fundamental of a servant leadership. You don't crave for posts. You don't think too much, too high about yourselves. Actually, you think very little about yourselves. You don't have time to think about yourselves, but you think about others. Jesus exhibited it in his life. So many instances. You just think about the time when Herod beheads John the Baptist. John the Baptist is his cousin. He was the forerunner. And Jesus was actually very upset. And he tells his disciples, come, let us go and spend time alone. And if you read the next verse, it says, people came running to see him. And the word of God says, he was moved so much with compassion that he decided to spend time with them. Now you think about our lives. Are we other focused in every situation? We have a tough day in our organization, in our company, and we come back home, we take it out on our children or our spouse. And we justify it by saying, you do not know what I went through in my company today. Again, it is my suffering, my challenges, my problems, and we don't have time for others. The same way, in the company also, when things do not go the way it has to happen, we take it out on people who look up to us or who come to us. So the first question we have to ask all of us is, are we other-focused or are we self-focused? If we are self-focused, now it is time to ask the Lord to make us other-focused. Because it is only He who can give us grace to do that. Now, the Lord teaches us three things through this problem. So, what are the three things Jesus teaches them? Now, first and foremost, you have to go back to John 16, where Jesus talks to them about the future life. And he tells them very clearly, when I go there, I will prepare a place for you. And he goes on to tell them that actually, they will have 12 chairs around him and they will be judging others along with him. So he told them very clearly that actually they have places of prominence. But why James and John had this problem? Now you read this Mark chapter 10 verses 35 to 45. The first thing Jesus indicates is about sovereignty. So what is sovereign? The sovereign nature of God is that He decides who we are, what we can do, and what He expects us to do. He says, the places, who sits in my right, who sits in my left, is decided by my Father. So, for each and every one of us, whether it is a ministry or an organization, where we have to be is already decided by the Lord. When we read Ephesians 2, 8, 9 and 10, 8 and 9 talks about salvation and 10 talks about to do the good works which God has prepared in advance for us to do. So, Sam has been chosen to be a hotelier. Samson has been chosen to be in CBMC. So Franklin has been chosen to do a business. Now this has been decided by God. And when we understand that it is God who has given us this role, we don't actually try for this top position or positions of importance. I think all of you know about BSF. BSF is Bible Study Fellowship. And it is actually a team effort. And you know, there are a bunch of leaders who nobody knows the importance of the role they are playing. Now we have it in an institution, in a school or in some campus. And we have discussion groups and children classes. Now these leaders, they come half an hour in advance. They have to arrange the chair, table, clean the table, open the windows, arrange for water, everything, so that when we go there, the classes are ready. And after the class is over, again, we leave immediately, but they spend again another half an hour, because the BSF policy states very clearly, leave the place as you have found it. So if the chairs has been moved, it has to be kept back in the same position. Tables, windows has to be closed. Everything, light, switch, fan, everything has to be done. And then they go back. But the person of prominence is the discussion leader who conducts the discussion groups and the teaching leader who gives the lecture. This is the worldview. But if you understand God's view, you will not feel bad about the menial task you are doing. They don't feel bad. They are proud. They think it is a privilege that God has given them this opportunity. For God, whether you are a lecturer or you are cleaning the table, for Him, it is the same. Because for Him, you are fulfilling His will for you in this life. At the end, He will say, well done, my faithful servant. You have been faithful in small things. Come and relax. I think you get the point. So, it is God who decides where you have to be, what you have to do. And we don't get worried, we don't get upset because you are asked to do something very insignificant. There is nothing insignificant in God's kingdom. So Mother Teresa always used to say, God has asked me to be faithful, not successful. Even you take in CPMC, there is a team of dedicated people in Chennai who have been traveling to so many places to establish new chapters. They are putting a lot of efforts. God is seeing their efforts, and God knows how to honor each and every one. The second thing is suffering. If you read that passage, Jesus asked them, can you drink the cup which I am drinking? For which they replied, we will do. And it happened also. So what is the cup? The cup is a cup of suffering. So whenever, in whatever way you decide to serve the Lord, it is a time of suffering. You go through the Bible again and again, you go through the Gospels again and again, there will not be a single place where Jesus says, come, you will have a wonderful life if you accept me. Number one, He says, the road is narrow if you have to follow me. And He says, you have to carry a cross every day. And in John 16:33, He says, in this world you will have trouble. Again, He says, when you decide to follow me, you will be persecuted. And He says, if they persecute me so much, you must know how much they will persecute you. So He talks about suffering again and again and again. As a leader, when we decide to do His will, it is a position of suffering. And this suffering is applicable in our organization also. When does it happen? Just trying to follow the word of God in every area of your life, every decisions. I won't give bribe. I will pay all the statutory dues. I will do exactly as per the word of God. You try that. You just decide, I will try, I will be speaking only the truth because the word of God says, let my yes be yes, let my no be no. You try all this. And if I tell a lie, then the devil becomes my father. I won't manipulate. I won't flatter. Just follow the word of God in your organization. You will see that you will have suffering. So, as leaders, if we decide to be His followers, If we want to have Jesus model, there is a time of suffering. We have to endure. Definitely, we have to have that period of suffering. And then, finally, he comes to servanthood. He says, not so with you. You don't lord over them, but you have to serve them. So how do we serve them? Monty Thursday, we wash each other's legs because Jesus demonstrated. And when you think about the incident, do you see one thing? Actually, it is the work of the slaves. And the big drums which are kept in the miracle according to the miracle in John 2, in the wedding at Cana, the drums were actually for the water for washing the legs. Because those days it was mud roads and everybody's legs will be full of mud. And the last but one level slave will remove this chapel. There will be straps. And the last least slave will wash the legs of the person or the visitor. And Jesus demonstrated that by washing the feet of his disciples. These disciples were with him for 3.5 years. But why none of them rushed and said, Lord, we will do it? They thought it is much below their dignity to do something like that. They thought that they are entitled. We all have that sense of entitlement, no? But in God's kingdom, if we have a sense of entitlement, it is not Jesus' model. That is why Jesus washed the feet of the disciples. Whenever I go to Bible Study Fellowship headquarters in San Antonio, they don't have workers. They have volunteers. You know who these volunteers are? People of the topmost from the society. They come from throughout the world, from Europe, from America, from Canada. They put their own money. They travel. And even for their stay there, they have to pay. But a concession is given. And you know what they do? They just serve us. They prepare food for us. They clean our tables. They clean our toilets. They serve us food. The same thing I have seen in Haga Institute. When I went for the training in Maui, there was a huge bunch of people, all managers, top level people. They come and spend 1 month, 2 months doing the same volunteer work. They have understood Jesus' model. They have understood that there is nothing which is below them to be followed. So, what is the area where we think we have this sense of entitlement? A lot of us, when we get very upset, when we enter a place and the car is stopped and they question us, we think we are much above and nobody should question us. And we also get upset if the watchman does not salute us. These are all small indicators which show whether we have the servant model, Jesus model, or we have this pride in our life. Jesus wants us to be wonderful leaders who will exhibit these characteristics in our life. Now the question is, when I do all these things, will I be considered as a doormat? Will I be taken for granted? Will I be able to implement what I want to do in my organization, in my ministry? Now, when Jesus says something, when Jesus does something, definitely, when you try that, it will not fail. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. I have not come here to abolish the word, but to fulfill everything. So, we have to try it. And I can say with conviction, definitely, when we do that, actually we will become more powerful leaders and there will not be any dilution in what we are doing. Because again, he proved it. He was just an ordinary carpenter for 30 years. Then he was prepared in the wilderness. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. And just 2.5 years, and till date, the biggest followers is for him. More than today, more than 2 billion people are thinking about him or following him. And the distance he traveled is a radius of 30 miles. He was not worried. He was not upset. He didn't try to run here and there. And he trained 12 people, ordinary people, not from theological background. If I had been there, I would have taken 12 people from Gamaliel who have been well educated in theology, but he took ordinary people. So what is the secret? Number one, he knew what he was doing. He was just doing what the Lord wanted him to do. And he had confidence in what he was doing. When you follow the word of God and when you have this servanthood, definitely, God will honor you. So as we close, let us understand. Number one, let us thank the Lord for wherever he has kept us, because it is the sovereign will of God that he has come kept us in that place. Number two, whenever we face challenges, troubles, ups and downs, let us not be worried, because suffering is a part of every leader who decides to follow Jesus Christ in their lives. And number three, let us exhibit servanthood characteristics, that is Jesus' model, in every area of our life. But for all this, fundamental, love the Lord and love others. So how do we love our Lord? Spending time at his feet. I don't know whether I shared, now I'm involved with a ministry called Movement Day, and the founder's name is Mac Pierce. Actually, his name is Mac Pierce. We call him Mac Pierce. He travels for more than 240 days in a year. He is in New York. Now he is crisscrossing throughout the world because this Movement Day is happening in more than 200 cities. And one thing which really, really was an eye-opener is that he finishes reading the Bible every 3 months. In every 90 days, he goes through the Word of God once. If you work out, you have to read 13 chapters per day. Actually, it was a big challenge for me. And I decided, if this man, who is traveling so much in so many time zones, is able to read 13 chapters, I don't have any justification saying that I am busy. So how much time you spend in the Word of God? Number two, how much time we spend in prayer? Number three, how much we spend time in solitude? So what is solitude? Psalms 46:10 says, stay still and know that I am the Lord. Just stay still in his presence, quiet, with nobody disturbing you, with nothing to disturb you. Then the Lord will start speaking to you. If you read the gospel according to Luke, there are 12 places where it talks about how the Lord spent time in prayer, in solitude. So that is the starting point. When we do that, all other things will follow. When we are getting power from above, it is like a mobile charging. When every day when we are fully charged through his power, then we will have a wonderful, wonderful Jesus model in our organizations, in our ministries, and we will never be harassed. We will never be overworked. We will never be upset. We will reflect him in every area of our life. So as we close, whatever area the Lord wants you to change, wants you to correct, dedicate it to the Lord, ask Him. And He will definitely, definitely enable you to do the course correction and to be a wonderful Jesus model, because He has chosen you to be a leader. Otherwise, you will not be here today. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful day. Thank you, Master, for speaking through your word. Lord, I praise you and thank you for these wonderful leaders who, in spite of their busy schedule, decided to spend time at your feet like Mary. Yes, Lord, they thought this is the most important priority in their lives. Bless them for what they are doing. Lord, help us to understand your sovereign nature. Help us to know that suffering is a part of our life when we try to follow you. And we have to display servant leadership in every area of our life. Master, I pray for each and every one of these saints. You know the area in which we are struggling. I pray for a special anointing of the Holy Spirit upon them, that they are transformed and they are able to do the course correction in whichever area they are lacking. Lord, as we begin this week, I pray for the personal needs of each and every one of us. Financial, health, relationship, challenges, government issues, whatever it may be, meet them at the point of their need. Help them to surrender everything to you and rejoice in you, knowing that you will never leave them, never forsake them. We thank you, Lord, for this wonderful ministry. We commit Richie, Samson, every person, voluntary as well as full-time, who are investing so much of time for this ministry. Continue to guide us, continue to lead us as to how we have to take this ministry in this country for your glory. We ask all this in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you so much. God bless you all.